In Venezuela today, a funeral followed by an oath of office. The state funeral, of course, for former President Hugo Chavez, who died this week. His vice president, Nicolas Maduro, is being sworn in as interim president. Maduro is a former bus driver and union activist, and he'll face an election within 30 days. He's vowed to further the Chavez legacy at home and abroad. Leaders from around the world and every part of Latin America are present for the ceremonies in Venezuela today. It's testimony to Chavez's influence. But at the same time, few of Venezuela's neighbors are following Chavez's domestic policies. So what is the legacy Chavez leaves behind in Latin America? Adam Isaacson is with the Washington Office on Latin America, a nonprofit that promotes human rights and democracy in the region. And Adam, you've said before that any evaluation of the Chavez legacy has to start with the fact that he was elected at all and survived, literally survived. Would you put that in historical context for us?
Well, absolutely, and thanks for having me. Hugo Chavez was elected in 1998, only a few years after the Cold War ended. And that was a time when, you know, Latin America is the most economically unequal region in the world. And routinely, leaders of the left, even when they managed to get elected, if they did anything that resembled redistribution of wealth, they were deposed. And that was especially true during the Cold War. Coups in Guatemala in 1954, Chile 1973, Brazil 1964. So the fact that Hugo Chavez could win the election and then actually begin employing some rather radical leftist rhetoric and programs and remain in office without even being taken out by a coup sponsored by the United States or anybody else was new. And it sort of opened the door and created space for a much broader political spectrum in future elections all over Latin America.
Right. And will you tell us about that, that idea that his election really resonated across the region and it had effects on other elections?
It definitely did. Over the next 10 years or so, you saw left leaders being elected in places that had been unlikely before, like Bolivia, Ecuador, Argentina, and Nicaragua, and much more moderate left leaders, more centrist leftists in Peru, Brazil, Uruguay, in a way that, you know, had this happened at the height of the Cold War in the 1950s or 60s, it would have had the United States absolutely panicked. But now it was just a sign that democracy, the transition to democracy, was taking root.
You just said, Adam, that sometimes those leftists, in a sense, Chavez opened the door for other leftists, but they tended to be more moderate than him. So was there a view that his own policies were maybe a little too much to the left, even among other Latin American leaders?
I think you could definitely say that. Hugo Chavez employed some very strong rhetoric, regularly attacking the media, attacking the political opposition. He strongly redistributed wealth. He nationalized a lot of industries. And, you know, the economy can be argued, although he reduced poverty a lot, economic growth also suffered. There are shortages and devaluations and a lot of other concerns that a lot of Latin America doesn't have right now. And crime went out of control. So people, when people elsewhere in the region looked at Venezuela, they saw a political space opening, but they didn't quite see a blueprint to follow all that closely.
You mentioned his strong rhetoric, and, you know, he could be bombastic and inflammatory and provocative, particularly when it came to the U.S. He really seemed to like poking us. He went out of his way to befriend places like Cuba and Iran and Libya and form alliances there. How would you describe, then, the relationship left behind between the U.S. and Venezuela now that he's no longer alive?
The relationship between the United States and Venezuela is pretty distant right now. Certainly the incoming president, or interim president, Nicolas Maduro, is seen as somewhat more pragmatic, but he was Chavez's foreign minister for 6 years. He's likely to continue a lot of that same line of trying to balance U.S. power and remain hostile to the United States. On the other hand, in the last few months, he's had some quiet conversations with U.S. diplomats, including the Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs. So we're all sort of wondering right now which way Maduro is going to go, and I bet the answer will have to do with how things are going domestically in Venezuela. If they're going bad, the United States could be a convenient scapegoat.
And Adam, in just 15 seconds or so, if you could tell us one thought about, as much as he helped the poor, those could be expensive social programs, the economic situation he leaves behind?
The economic situation is hard, and it's going to be a real challenge for Maduro. There's likely to be some serious shortages and decline, almost a recession in the economy coming up.
Adam Isaacson of the Washington Office on Latin America. Adam, thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
Back in 30 seconds, here and now.